today I'm joined by Sir Stuart Hampson, Chairman of the John Lewis Partnership from 1993 to 2007. After completing his BA in Modern Languages at Oxford, Stuart Hampson joined the civil service. He worked at the Board of Trade 1969 to 72, including 2 years on the UK mission to the UN at Geneva. He was Principal Private Secretary to Roy Hattersley, and after 1979 was Private Secretary to a succession of Conservative ministers. He left the civil service to join the John Lewis Partnership in 1982 and famously spent his first 6 weeks in a basement department selling pyjamas. In 1986, he was appointed to the partnership's central board as Director of Research and Expansion and was responsible for the first out-of-town John Lewis store in High Wycombe and for new stores in Aberdeen and Kingston. In 1989, he became Deputy Chairman and in 1993, Chairman. His chairmanship was marked by a steady expansion of the partnership, the refurbishment of flagship stores in London's Oxford Street and Sloane Square, the extension of trading hours, the expansion of the product range, and the establishment of an online presence. From 2006, Stuart Hampson was president of the Royal Agricultural Society of England. He was also appointed by Prince Charles as one of his personal ambassadors on responsible business practice. He was knighted in 1998 and became chairman of the Crown Estate in January 2010. And today, he was awarded Honorary Doctor of Laws. Welcome to the University of Warwick. Congratulations on receiving your honorary degree.
Well, I'm very proud to do so. It's a great honour to be here today and to get this degree.
Can you tell me, first of all, what receiving this award from the university means to you?
Well, to me, it's an honour that I've personally become a Doctor of Laws of the University of Warwick. But I recognise that this is partly because of the 25 years I spent at John Lewis, 14 years as its chairman. And it's showing that Warwick respects the particular values and the business model of the John Lewis Partnership, and I'm really pleased to see that happening.
Your career started out in the civil service, and during that time you served in the UK mission to the UN at Geneva. Can you tell me a bit more about your role?
Yes, I spent 12 and a half years in the civil service, a great start to any career in terms of the training it gives you in the way to think and to see arguments. And I was very fortunate. I spent some of the time in the Foreign Office in Geneva. I spent some of the time in the Home Civil Service and was there over the period of what I always call the Thatcher Revolution. I was Private Secretary to Roy Hattersley when he was a Cabinet Minister under the Callaghan government, and then when Thatcher swept to power, I was John Knott's Private Secretary, showing how civil servants switch from one political party to the other and support the government of the day.
You mentioned Roy Hattersley there, the Secretary of State for Prices and Consumer Protection. What was it like to work with him?
He was a most wonderful person to work for. Very amusing, very intelligent, a huge grasp of the detail of government policy. And it was at a period when everybody was trying to keep down prices and stop wage increases. And a huge commitment to food subsidies, for example, to avoid the three bob loaf, which was a large loaf of bread going up to 15p, and huge government subsidies to stop it. Quite interesting to look back on what the priorities of government were all those years ago.
And then you had a significant career change into retail. What prompted that change?
Well, the change was really because I'd been a civil servant for 12 and a half years. I was coming up to my 35th birthday. And I thought, do I really want to remain a civil servant for the next 25 years? And I thought it'd be a good experience to go and talk to somebody else. And by pure coincidence, I saw an advertisement for the John Lewis Partnership in the Sunday Times saying, we're always interested in talking to people considering a change of career. No previous retailing experience expected, but you must have done well in whatever you're doing. I thought, well, it'll be a good interview practice. So I went along, and they had had over 1,000 responses, and they called me for interview. I was very relaxed about it because I wasn't thinking about the job. But the more I met them and the more the interview went on, the more I thought, this is a business that I really do respect and admire. And they said to me, well, if you come and join us, we're not quite sure what you'll do. You might end up running one of our department stores, but we'll take the risk if you will. And I must say that was a very good step on my part, and no regrets.
It must have been a massive shift between working in central government to selling pyjamas, which I believe is quoted to be saying in a basement department. What's the contrast between the two? Must be significant.
Well, it was, and John Lewis were very sensible because they said you have no commercial experience, and to parachute you into a job where you're a manager when you don't actually know the basics of the job is not a clever thing to do. Which is why I did spend 3 weeks in the basement of John Lewis selling pyjamas and things, and then did other jobs. And no point. I actually did every single job in a department store. So I was on the shop floor. I was a section manager selling garden furniture. I was a department manager. And then I became responsible for the fashion floor at Peter Jones, which my wife found hilarious. But the point was, at each stage, the people who I then had working for me appreciated that I might not have been around for very long, but I did understand what the job was about. And that's a key point in business, that so often managers get parachuted in and are expected to take charge of something that they don't personally understand. And I was very glad John Lewis never did that to me.
So you've had quite a significant amount of experience up through the ranks. What advice could you give to students that may be looking for a career in retail or a massive change like you took?
I think the key thing is, first of all, you've got to feel that any job you're going into is one that you feel some form of empathy for. Now, I know that that's quite difficult, and people who want to be a doctor or a journalist or a lawyer, they've got a clear idea what they do. The vast majority of students really are looking at this broad area of commerce, and it's quite hard to say, well, this is what I want to do as opposed to another particular company. And what I found about John Lewis was I liked the ethics of the business. I liked the people I met. And that was almost more important than the fact that it was a retail business. And through the 25 years I was with John Lewis, that became a stronger and stronger feeling. It was the culture of the business that really aroused my passion, gave me my commitment, made me want to come into work every day. And the fact that everybody working there, and it's now a business of 70,000 people, feel that same point. It's a different culture. And I would say to students, don't just look at what does this company do, but what does this company feel like? What are its standards, its values? Does it have a sense of integrity? Because long term, that's really what matters.
Mm. You said the feel was very different. I mean, John Lewis is a very different model of retail in the fact that there's a partnership where collective ownership and employees are referred to as partners. Is obviously a bonus to you, but what do you think about that model became attractive to you?
The difference between John Lewis and any other business is that it's not just a trivial thing that it's owned by the staff, and nobody owns individual shares. It's owned actually by a trust on behalf of the staff, so nobody can sell their shares. But there is that sense of ownership and responsibility. And indeed, one of the things we did at John Lewis, just not long before I retired, actually, is we abandoned the job application form and converted it into a membership application form. Because we said, if all you want is a job, you might as well go and work for Tesco or Marks & Spencer. If you actually want to join an organisation where you'll have responsibility and you'll share in the benefits of success, come and talk to us. But it is taking on that sense of responsibility for the improvement of the business, which every single person does. You can't just say that's the manager's job. Everyone takes that on. And it's a wonderful, it's a different way of working to get that sense of everybody feeling they have a responsibility to create success.
I suppose everybody's important to that success.
Everybody, and people have all kinds of different jobs. You might be on the shop floor, you might be a computer operator, you might be a van driver, you might work in a warehouse, you might be chairman. But the business doesn't work without every single one doing their jobs. And people talk about hierarchies, and I've never had any problem with hierarchies and hierarchies of decisions, because decisions need to be taken at different levels. The point about it is, do you respect everybody who does a job, no matter what level that job is at? And that's what you get in John Lewis. I frequently used to say, as I was walking around the department stores talking to people, what do you think about the way management's doing its job? Do you feel that management's doing a good job? So it is a two-way responsibility.
You rose quite quickly, literally from the basement. Did this give you, you obviously said, an insight into the business as a whole?
Well, this is my point, that you can't run a business unless you understand it. And although you can say, well, I've done a familiarisation programme, that's nowhere near as effective as saying, I actually did the job. And that's a key ingredient of... and John Lewis, although we do bring people in from outside to fill jobs inevitably, but as far as possible, we try to promote people from within so that they do fully understand what they're doing and they particularly buy into the whole culture.
What do you think makes a successful business person?
I don't think there's any simple answer to that. I mean, because a business leader has to combine a huge number of different skills and personal traits, it's that mix which matters, and more particularly, it's having a mix of people in the top management of the business. And one of the things that we particularly looked at was the combination of skills that we achieved in our top management. And diversity wasn't just a matter of political correctness. It was making sure that we had people who thought in different ways and made their own contribution to the joint decision-making. But when you reach a top position as chief executive or chairman, it is the leadership skill and the ability to motivate your immediate team and point them in the right direction and get them to follow you, which is the key to success.
2006, you were president of the Royal Agricultural Society, which is in Stoneleigh, literally a stone's throw from Warwick campus. Can you tell me about your time there?
It was an interesting appointment because when I was asked to be president of the Royal Agricultural Society, it was at the time when there was huge animosity between farmers and supermarkets and many complaints that the farmers were getting a terrible deal from supermarkets. And I therefore thought, I was fascinated that I was asked to be president of the Royal Agricultural Society. And I think what that demonstrated was that Waitrose took a very different approach, and Waitrose had real partnerships with their farmer suppliers. And a case in point, I was walking round at the Royal Show with a whole group of people from the Royal Agriculture Society, and a farmer came up to me and said, I'm one of your Waitrose suppliers. And I said, oh, very good. He said, yes, I've supplied you with lamb for 25 years. And I don't have a contract. And I said, oh, I'm terribly sorry. Has there been a mistake? He said, no, I've supplied you for 25 years and I don't have a contract because I don't need one. I deal on trust with Waitrose. And the contrast between that approach and the contract-driven, aggressive approach which other supermarkets were showing to farmers was really marked. And I like to think that through my time at the Royal Agricultural Society and indeed through general discussion of this, there was some shift in the relationship between supermarkets and farmers. But I still like to think that Waitrose is out in front in terms of looking at mutual success and building businesses together, which is the key for both sides.
And leading from that, you're also Prince Charles's personal ambassador on responsible business practice. And what do you think the responsibilities are for businesses and the challenges currently that affect them?
Prince Charles has done a tremendous job in building organisations such as Business in the Community, where he's engaged large businesses and small businesses to look outside their own sphere of commercial activity and engage with communities. And I was very pleased to take John Lewis into that organisation. And we got a lot out of it. People at all levels in the business volunteering to take on tasks in local communities. And it results in both learning experiences for the people concerned when they're outside their normal commercial field and are operating in a different area, but also a sense of pride. And that's the thing I noticed. It's encouraged as a sign of corporate responsibility. It's something business should take on. But the feedback we got from the people, our partners, who were engaged in these activities was they were really proud to have done it and proud to see our management saying, we want to do this. It was entirely in keeping with the way that John Lewis and Waitrose work generally, but it gave us new opportunities to get engaged in activities which we wouldn't have known about otherwise.
Since you're retiring from John Lewis, you haven't completely left retail. You're a patron of the charity HFT, helping people with learning disabilities. Can you tell me a bit more about the work of HFT?
Yeah, HFT, it's a Cinderella charity, if I might put it that way. It's not one of the top names which is able to have fundraising activities, which are large parties and very wealthy people contributing. Because, frankly, adults with learning disabilities don't have huge appeal. And yet it's a desperate need for support. We know personally of people who had children with learning disabilities who are now adults with learning disabilities. And part of the concern is, well, what happens when those parents die and the child is in all probability going to be still alive? And HFT is a charity which both has homes where services where it takes people in, but also supports mentally handicapped adults in the community and helps them lead their own lives as much as they can. It's that kind of charity which I think desperately needs help, and both my wife and I are very pleased to support it.
Finally, what life advice would you give to your fellow graduates today?
The life advice is think about happiness. The key driver of John Lewis, and it's in our constitution, it begins that the ultimate purpose of the John Lewis Partnership is the happiness of its members. Goes on to say, so far as that happiness comes from a worthwhile and satisfying job in a successful business. It's not just happy by, you know, joking around and fooling around and enjoying yourself. It's the happiness that comes from a worthwhile and satisfying job in a successful business. Too many people say, how much money am I going to earn? Too many businesses say, how much money am I going to earn? If you start to say, how much happiness am I going to create, then the money will follow along.
Thank you very much for talking to me today. Congratulations on your Warwick degree.
It's been a pleasure being in Warwick today and passing on some thoughts.
Thank you.